Excellent. Kids, you want to come on down the front?
I'm already here.
You're already here. Well done. A couple other kids. Here comes another one. Woohoo. Excellent. All right, quick question for you. Ready? And you don't have to answer it full on. How many of your kids have ever got in trouble? You got in trouble once? A few times? Anyone else got in trouble? Josh, you ever got in trouble?
No.
No, not at all. You might feel surprised. I used to get in trouble quite a lot, both at home and at school. Now, I'm not saying my mum yelled my name a lot, but our pet Budgie used to yell my name as well. So I don't know where he got that idea from, but he'd yell out Donnie across the street. So in the Bible, are there any people in the Bible that ever got in trouble? Anyone in the Bible that ever got in trouble? Anyone? What about Joseph? You know the story of Joseph? You know the story of Joseph? Did he ever get in trouble? No, Joseph never got in trouble. Let's have a quick look at Joseph then. In Genesis chapter 37, where you start to read the story of Joseph, Joseph was one of the younger brothers, and he went out into the field to work with his older brothers, and his older brothers were doing something wrong. And so then Joseph came home, and he told his dad what they were doing. Do you think the other brothers were happy that he did that? No, no. Have you ever done that on your brother or sister? No, you've never told mum and dad that your little brother was doing something wrong? Always? Always? What about in your house, Alex?
Yes, I always.
You used to dob on your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, my brothers.
Yeah? Yeah. Three brothers. You used to dob on your three brothers. So is that a South American thing? Because in Australia, we don't do that. Ah, we used to dish out our own justice with brothers. If we thought they were doing something wrong, we'd take them on. Anyway, Joseph goes home and he tells his dad all about what his brothers are doing. And his brothers are in trouble. So do you think his brothers like him? No, they don't like him. And then dad exasperates the situation by buying Joseph a special jacket with great big long sleeves. And guess what? It is really, really colourful. Very brightly coloured. And the long sleeves is important. That meant he didn't have to go out in the yard and do all the work, because if you've got long sleeves, it gets in the road. And so Joseph had this beautiful coat, and he didn't have to do all the hard work. So do you think his brothers liked him even more? Mm-mm. Didn't like him at all. Really didn't like him. Then Joseph makes another little error. He has a dream. And in the dream, it's as if all his brothers bowed down to him. And he told them that. If you had that dream, would you tell that to your brother?
Yes.
Yes? I had a dream, Joseph, and one day you're going to bow at my feet. I can imagine that. I really could. That's a no-brainer, isn't it, Dad?
That's like the full-on life
dream. One day I'm going to be better than you.
Yeah.
Well, Joseph told all his brothers that he was going to be better than them. And again, they didn't like that. Then Joseph had another dream. Do you think he kept it to himself this time? No? Yes? Do you think he kept silent? This time, his mum and dad were in the dream, so he told his brothers and his mum and dad that they were all going to bow down to him. Do you think he was happy? Do you think they were happy? Do you think he'd made another mistake? Anyway, a couple of days go past, weeks, months. The brothers go out and they're looking after all the animals. And Joseph gets sent out to take them some food and update on what's happening. Joseph gets out there and after looking all over the place for them, finally finds them. And they see him coming because guess what? What sort of shirt do you think he's wearing? He's wearing that really colourful one, isn't he? And in the desert area, he's standing out. It's very bright and it's just everyone can see him coming a mile away. And he's wearing this beautiful robe, and he gets there, and you know what they did to him? Anyone know the story? What did they do?
They threw him in a big pit.
They beat him up and threw him in a big pit, exactly. And they were going to, A, kill him, B, sell him to a bunch of hairy Ishmaelites, C, both, whatever came up first. What do you think they were going to do?
They were
going to
sell him.
They were going to sell, well, they were going to kill him to start with. But one of the brothers, the eldest brother, tried to talk them out of it. And as they were talking about it, the Ishmaelites came along and they sold him. How much do you think you didn't like your brother if you sold your brother into slavery? That's pretty bad, isn't it?
How much money were you talking?
Joseph, I'm just checking if there's any hairy Ishmaelites coming along, mate. If I see you driving a new car, Dan, I'm going to check where Joseph is. So Joseph was sold into slavery. Big learning curve for him, isn't he? All those little things that he did wrong caused these guys to really not like him. And they did that. Is that the end of the story? Well, we're going to tell more of that story a little bit later, but so just stay tuned. But things sometimes go haywire when we do things wrong, don't they? And sometimes we upset people, and sometimes they can be very upset with us. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you for our kids. Thank you, Father, for the input into that little bit about Joseph. Ask, Lord God, that you would continue to watch over them and keep them safe as school starts back this week. Ask, Lord God, you watch over them and, yeah, they continue to grow in you. And all the kids said? Amen. Well done. Thank you. All right, now, kids, I'm going to share for a bit. Now, if you would like, we've put together some sermon notes. So if you'd like to make some notes on my sermon and then come and show me later and we'll see how correct we are. See if they make sense. Anyone want to have a go at that? You want to have a go? Right there? No? Okay. Well, they're here if you'd like to. All right. How are we doing? You good? Excellent. Anyone here ever surfed? Put up your hand if you've ever surfed. Yeah. Okay, cool. Excellent. Lots of surfers. I have a surfboard here at the front. This is, anyone tell me what sort of surfboard that is? Yep. If I hold it that way, does that help? A twin fin, all right? Made very, very popular by a guy called Mark Richards way long ago. At the moment, I surf a 8-foot Mal with 3 fins. I praise God that I started and learnt to surf on a twin fin. Reason being is that when I was 18, when I first started to learn to surf, a guy I worked with in telecom, he took me surfing at Byron Bay. And we were down surfing at the wreck. Which is interesting, isn't it? The wreck. It's just a thing sticking out of the water. But anyway, it's called the wreck. And we're surfing away there. And I was so new at it, I wasn't even sure what waves to catch. And so he literally was going, paddle now! And I'd paddle. Anyway, this one day, we're there, and this wave's coming through, looked quite big to me, and he yells, paddle. And like any good learner, mentor, I just did what I was told. And so I started paddling, and I could feel the waves starting to pick me up. And as I kept going, all of a sudden I hear him yell out, no! It was too late. I got the wave. And the wave had sucked right up. And this thing in surfing terms, which I now was about to experience, called going over the falls. And this wave just picked me, and down I went, straight over, and all the white water on top of me, bang. And I had this weird feeling. As I was being churned around, I felt something go past my right ear and something go past my left ear. No, not a shark. And if you notice, yeah, hence, praise God, I didn't have a third fin. I learnt a lot from that experience. You'd think I would have learnt a lot more and not gone over the falls ever again in my life. But I continue to make that same rookie mistake, and I sort of go in the waves like this now when I go over the falls, just in case, because I now ride a thruster, which has that third fin. All right. If we were going for a job interview, how confident would you be in your resume? Would you be confident in your resume? Remember, we live in a social media world where you might hand them your resume, but they might Google you, Facebook you, and check out things all about you. Say we're going to employ a guy from the Bible. Say we're going to employ, let's say David, a lowly shepherd boy who turned to be a king. If you were to employ David, and the first thing you read on his resume was, a man after God's own heart. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's a good start. And then you could, the next bit would be, wrote a lot of the Psalms, well known for Psalm 23. That's fantastic. You'd be on, this guy is good. Let's sign him up. Next line, a liar, a bad dad, an adulterer, and a murderer. All on the one page. Would you sign him up? Would you employ him? Would you recognise that he'd made his fair share of mistakes? The interesting thing about the Bible, isn't it, is that it's full of people making mistakes, but it's also full of God's redemption, restoration, his grace, and his mercy. Today's Bible reading comes from the book of Acts. If you've got your Bibles or your iPads, your tablets, obviously not Hamish, David. Acts chapter... Hamish. Acts chapter 15, reading from verse 36. This is another one of those sections in God's word where it's all left in there. It's not sanitized. Two of the great men of the early church are not getting on. Let's have a read, shall we? Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued on in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement. How about that? Recorded in God's word, these two guys had a sharp disagreement. So much so that they parted company. That's a pretty huge disagreement, isn't it? No longer walking together. And they had been, if you go back through those early 15 chapters, they had been through some tough stuff together and seen some amazing works of God, seen some amazing attacks of the enemy. And here it is, over one guy, John Mark, they disputed and left each other behind. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, and they went to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Here it is, recorded in God's word. These guys had a major disagreement. Who was right? Who was wrong? We read about Paul. Paul can be a little bit of a hothead at times, can't he? He says some inflammatory things in the word. He goes into situations and he can stir up the situation. Barnabas is known as the son of encouragement, a good guy who sold land and property and gave it to the disciples, the apostles. A good guy. So here is a scenario that's taking place. As you read it, you might find, oh, I'm on Barnabas' side. Paul should have been more forgiving. He should have walked in the grace of God that he preaches about in all those letters that he ends up writing. But at this situation, it falls apart. And I don't know about you, but there are moments when I fall apart. There are times when I get it wrong, very, very wrong. These guys got it wrong, and it's recorded in Scripture, and we get to read about it again and again and again. What we've got in this story is something that unravels. The story that we leave it with today is these two guys had such a big dispute that one went that way and the other went that way. Now we know through church history, we know through the Bible, that later in life Paul wants John Mark back because they've reconciled. But at this moment in time, they're not reconciled. There's not going anything good here. When I talked with the kids this morning, we talked about Joseph. Now, we all know the story of Joseph doesn't end up just him sold into slavery. We know the story of Joseph, which apparently is at the age of 17, this all happens for Joseph. Age of 17, sold into slavery. At this time, he is sold off, and things go good and bad and good and bad for Joseph. He ends up in prison, and he's staying in prison. And he gets to tell a few dreams to some people who take that news and forget about him straight away. And he stays in prison until something happens where one of the guys who told the prophetic word through that dream, which came true for him and saved his life, and the other guy was killed, has the opportunity to speak in Pharaoh's life and says, I know this Hebrew guy who did the same thing with a dream for me. You need to have a talk to him. Now in this section, Joseph goes on to Pharaoh, and Joseph has learnt in that 13 years, because he's now 30 years old, he's learnt from the brashness of being a young boy who goes and tells on his brothers, who tells them of the dreams to everybody who wants to know, you guys will all bow down before me. And when he stands before Pharaoh, the mightiest man in all the world at that stage, and Pharaoh says, can you tell me this dream? Joseph's response is, only God knows, and I will pass on his word to you. That's a big change around, isn't it? From his mistakes he made as a young boy to now at the age of 30, he's learnt those lessons. What a journey he went on to get to that point. And even as he's telling the Pharaoh the answer to his dreams, he says to Pharaoh, what you need is to find someone wise enough and with enough discernment to be able to make this happen across your great nation. And Pharaoh looks around and says, who's wiser and more discerning than you, Joseph? You come on and do the job with me. And Joseph rises to that position, second in all the land, and his dreams eventually come true. And then Joseph has to go through that scenario of how does he react when he faces his brothers when they come looking for food. That's another story. But the thing is, God worked in Joseph's life to get him from point A to point B. And I want to share with you today that everything that happens in our lives, God wants to work in and through to get us from point A to point B. A book I'm reading at the moment called Leadership Wisdom by a guy called Craig Hamilton has a whole chapter on failing forward and failing backwards. Does that make sense? Failing forward and failing backwards. He goes into the whole understanding of failing backwards is when you fail that you continue to not learn the lesson and continue to make that mistake again and again and again. So in other words, you fail and you go backwards. It's like me with surfing. I go out, I catch the wave, I get dumped. I go out, I catch the wave, I get dumped. If I would learn my lesson, I'd catch the wave in the right place, which you need to come next week because Brendan's going to tell you how to catch the wave in the right place. And catch the wave and ride it, because I've never experienced that. My ride of the wave is yaps, yaps. I might get a yahoo. That's about it for me. That's all I do. Paddle, 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 yaps. Brendan has done a lot better than that. He's going to share next week on how you can ride the wave and just enjoy it and have God smiling on you, where I'm just getting drowned with all the fish. But you'd think I'd learn from my mistakes, but I continue. So in surfing, I fail backwards all the time. I haven't grabbed hold of the truth and put it into practice. Now you may be sitting there thinking, I know what I'm doing there. I fail backwards in this area or in this area or in this area. Failing forwards is grabbing hold of the lesson that you've learnt and learning from it so that you never make that mistake again. You know what I mean? When I played cricket, a fast bowler bowled me a short ball. I tried to hook it, not listening to my father who said, you never hook until you're over 50, which I kept saying, Dad, I'm not sure I'll be playing when I'm over 50. 50 runs he meant, anyway, just to explain it to the non-cricket people in the audience. And I hit this ball, and I got a good bit of it, and it flew straight into my face. And I wasn't wearing a helmet or a... you know, one of their masks, things that they wear these days. Boom, broke my nose. Broke my nose. Next time that happened, short ball, guess what? I ducked. I learned from that mistake. Third time, tried to hit it again, broke my nose again. But I only broke my nose twice. Finally learned the lesson. Finally understood that this is not a good thing to do. Worked out how to hook a ball properly. Or duck. Cricket, sport, life, relationships. You can laugh at me making mistakes, but I'm sure if we all had each other up here under the microscope, we'd be laughing at each other's mistakes. The insane things that we do again and again and again. One of the posters I used to have on my wall when I was a youth pastor was very simply, the only way to fail with Jesus is to quit. The only way to fail with Jesus is to quit. Now, I know from God's word, he wants to encourage us. He wants us to get up again, to learn our lesson and move forward. If you've got your Bibles again, open up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, who was one of the guys that was in that dispute that we talked about from the book of Acts? His name was Paul and Barnabas. We believe that Paul writes this book. Here's what he has to say. Do you think he learned his lesson from Acts chapter 15? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And it says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Rejoice. Could you imagine Barnabas reading that and going, yeah, especially when I tell you that John Mark's going to join our team. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a great section of Scripture, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Whether you're going through a tough time or a bad time, rejoicing in God for what he's trying to bring in and through you. Open your eyes and open your heart to say, okay, Lord, what's going on in this situation? Is there something that you want to work in me? Is there something that I don't have right that you want to bring correction? Or is there a lesson in relationships that I'm working with that you want to help me out? Jamie's not here. Can I tell the Michaela story? I'll do it. Jamie has a sister called Michaela. And as all sisters, sometimes they get on, sometimes they don't. And sometimes the one person that can get under Jamie's skin is Michaela. Now, in her little group of 181, there is a young girl called Michaela. And the one person out of all 181 that can get under Jamie's skin is Michaela. So we're saying to Jamie, saying, honey, do you think God's trying to teach you a lesson here? Yes, Dad. And so there's this issues in the area of relationships that Jamie's learning to work through again and again and again, even to the point where I think it's funny that he had to send another Michaela to get the point across. Isn't that amazing? So rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We talked about this last week. God is always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there. And when we start to walk on the water like Peter did, he was straight away saying, do not be afraid. I am here. And he lifted Peter up out of the water. Then he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, whether we're going over the falls or feeling like life is out of control, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says this next bit. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you always. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm going over the falls, the few things that leave my head are things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Usually when I'm going over the falls, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to hurt. And praying that the board doesn't hit me in the back of the head. In life, when we're going over the falls, and we're going through a tough time, and we're trying to learn a lesson, Jesus is saying to us, at these moments and at these times, this is when you need to think about what is right, what is pure, what is noble, what is lovely, what is admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And whether it's a good day where you can go, yeah, it's a great day. I can think of noble things and praiseworthy things and true things. I can do that before God. But when it's a tough day and you feel like it's just going to hit the sand and it's going to be nasty and maybe even hurt, God still says to us, think on these things and the peace of God will be with you. My challenge to you and to me is to always rejoice in what God has for us. One of the interesting things I've experienced going over the falls, and for other surfers in here, see if this rings true. As you get to that point, there is that moment when you know you're going to not catch the wave the way you're meant to. You know you're going to go down, and standing up is probably never going to be the option, and just going with the flow and being pounded by the wave, if it's a big one or a little one. Sometimes in life you can see some of the choices that have taken place have led you to a point where the outcome is not going to be what you hoped it would be. Other times you have learnt the lesson and the choices you've made and the outcomes are going to be positive and incredible and you're going to be going, yes, I've got it right. But either way, Jesus is Lord. Either way, we need to walk with God and be thinking on what is right, noble, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, and have thanksgiving in our mouth. Because God wants us to be a shining light in and through this world. And when Jesus went to the cross, from the whole experience of the Garden of Gethsemane, all the way to hanging on that cross, being nailed there by men who weren't 100% sure what was going on. The sky was going black. The earth was rumbling. People were crying out. Some people were mocking him. Some people were worshipping. Some were crying. But here is this man. And we know him as the Son of God. We know him as our Lord of Lords, our King of Kings. We know him as the one who came to take away our sin, to take away our frustrations, to take away our hurt and our pain, to bring healing and restoration. When Jesus went over the falls, and that's a pretty extreme falls experience, don't you think? He looked down, and what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And into your hands I commit my spirit, and it is finished for you and for me. So let's take the things we've got in our life to Jesus. Let's learn the lesson that he wants to teach us. Let's live in his strength and his power and be his person each and every day in 2018. Grab hold of his truth and he will shine his light in and through you. The songs we sang today, God is bigger and stronger. God wants to work in us. God wants to work in you. God wants to see you shine in this community. He wants me to shine in this community, to be an impact to the people that I come across every day of the week. God calls you and me to follow him. So today, if you'd like to go, you know what? I've made that same mistake again and again and again. No more. Today, that mistake is gone. It's over with. No more that mistake has had it. Just in closing, I'll tell a short story. I've told it before, so if you've heard it, just sit back and relax. I was pointed out last night, I tell stories a lot, and sometimes I've told them 42 times, and so people know the story better than I do, and send me corrections saying this last time it happened this way. Here's this story. Juan Carlos Ortiz tells a story about a prayer meeting that was taking place in South America. And what was happening was this guy came in, and every time they prayed, this one guy prayed the same prayer at the beginning of every prayer meeting. He said, Lord, as we come to take away the cobwebs of life and just concentrate on you. It was a nice way to say it, isn't it? Take away the cobwebs of life. Just clear everything away and concentrate on you. This little Pentecostal lady screamed out, in the name of Jesus, I kill that spider. No more cobwebs. Or you can get up every day and take away the cobwebs or get rid of the spider. What do you want to do? Get up every morning and not learn the lesson and clear away the cobwebs? Or get up in the morning having gone, that spider is out of my life. I'm going to walk with Jesus in this way, stronger and with a greater ability. In Jesus' name. If you'd like prayer, I'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of today. Have a great morning tea, coffee, and we'll sing our last song.